The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ava Lewis for the North Carolina Reading Service, and the title of this segment is called Ebony. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Biden Makes His Pledge to the Black Community During 2020. On Saturday, former Vice President Joe Biden made his first appearance at the Essence Festival of Culture and launched his new Essence column, hashtag Ask Joe Biden. Biden, the presumptive Democrat nominee for president, laid out his plans for the Black community and what he hopes to achieve in his first 100 days in office, should he win the 2020 presidential election. My plan for the African American community will close the wealth gap and income gap by investing in African American home ownership, including a $15,000 first-time home buyer tax credit, doubling funding for small state business credit initiatives, drawing billions in private capital to Black-owned businesses, boosting support from mission-driven lenders to low-income communities, expand the new market tax credit, and investing in communities that most need it, and fight along with Black workers for equal pay, labor rights, and safe workplace. Nothing about this fight will be easy. It's going to take leadership at the highest levels of our government and sustained grassroots pressure from every American who can no longer just stand silently by. American history isn't a fairy tale. We've never lived up to our founding promise of equality for all, but we've never stopped trying until this president, Biden said. In addition, Biden also answered a reader-submitted question that asked, are there policies that you plan to enact that will swiftly improve educational infrastructures in Black communities? He noted that no child's future should be determined by their zip code, income, or race. We can't lead the 21st century if we don't give every student a strong foundation for the future. As president, I'll invest in our children from birth through high school and beyond. I'll offer universal pre-K so every single child gets the same strong start in life, triple funding for Title I schools, and close the gap between rich and poor districts. I'll boost teacher pay and expand the pipeline of teachers of color in the schools. Kids are more likely to stay in school if they see someone like themselves in the classroom. That's why I'll invest $5 billion in graduate teaching programs at HBCUs and minority-serving institutions, fix the public service loan forgiveness program to help teachers pay off their student debt, fund dual enrollment high school programs and training aspiring teachers early, he said. And finally, Biden responded to recent talk surrounding his pledge to pick a woman as his running mate and also spoke about his other commitments to diversity beyond his cabinet appointments. The Obama-Biden administration issued an important executive order to promote diversity and inclusion all across the federal government. I'll reissue it and mandate strict compliance. I'll rebuild the pipeline of federal workers, and I'll draw more people to the public service by fixing our public service student loan forgiveness program, forgiving $10,000 a year in student debt for 5 years. I'll invest in new career pipelines for HBCUs to federal agencies. Make sure we boost training and mentoring, collect data, and increase transparency about hiring and promotions. This country's full of committed, smart, courageous people of all backgrounds, eager to serve their country and do something beyond themselves. I'm ready, and they're ready, Biden stated. The next article is titled Robin Jones on Black Maternal Health and How Societal Stressors Impact Our Bodies. As part of the 2020 Essence Festival of Culture, last weekend, trailblazing journalists Maria S. and Robin Jones, MD, Senior Medical Director of Women's Health at Johnson & Johnson, got real about the trials of Black maternal health in America. When it comes to pregnancy, Black mothers in the U.S. face devastating hurdles. Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die during pregnancy and childbirth than white women, according to the CDC. Healthcare disparity is not a new notion. We're just recently speaking about it, Jones said, before also discussing the social and structural determinants of health, including where we work, live, play, and choose to settle down as we age. That contributes to poor health within our communities. There's also the stigma of systemic racism. So what is that? How does that fall into the play with the social determinants of health? Jones explained. We have a lack of trust reaching back generations in our healthcare system. And more recently, what we found is as we access the healthcare system, we're not heard. We speak and we're not listened to. Jones then used Serena Williams' pregnancy scare, in which she almost lost her life giving birth, as a prime example. Another major factor impacting Black mothers is weathering. The term weathering, coined by American public health researcher Arlene G., it's a catch-all used to describe the impact that race-related stressors have on the body. There's a theory called weathering, said Jones. And what happens with weathering is that there's a physiological burden that we experience from the everyday stress of being Black in America. It has to do with being marginalized, not respected, not listened to, and that everyday stress impacts our wellness. In fact, it's been shown that for Black women, regardless of economic status, if you take 2 women at the same age, 1 Black, 1 white, we usually have 7.5 more years added to our age because of the stress we undergo, because of the racism that we experience every day, and that we have to react and respond here in the United States. The next article is titled Jump the Broom, sponsored by Chase Bank. In normal times, we would be in the midst of one of the most popular wedding months of the year. Of course, these aren't ordinary times. Instead, the COVID-19 pandemic has led to postponed and canceled wedding plans, resulting in the loss of time and money invested for the big day. Many couples had to creatively reimagine what it means to walk down the aisle, quote unquote, and celebrate their commitment. For some, the loss of jobs compounded stress and worry when we should to be uplifting the beauty of two people dedicated. For some, the loss of jobs compounded stress and worry when we should be uplifting the beauty of two people dedicating themselves to each other. That's why it's even more important that we nurture our relationship, whether we are taking new steps together or have been committed to each other for years. As always, money plays a role. Really, how we think about money and what we do with it in the best of times and the most challenging of times can affect our relationship's dynamics. When we partner with another person, we bring our money beliefs, perspectives, experiences, and habits into the relationship. Often, the partnership helps us rise to new levels and achieve more than we ever could alone. Sometimes there isn't a clear path to merging financial lives, whether you are just starting out or have been together for decades. Building a pathway to financial success starts with getting clear about where you are now and the values and vision you share. With a shared vision as your focus, you can create a plan that honors your individuality and your relationship. Today, some couples literally jump over a broom as part of their wedding ceremony. It signifies the two of them becoming one and represents sweeping away past problems and concerns. They're getting a fresh start in their lives. I want to talk to you today about jumping the financial broom and getting a fresh start on your financial lives together. I encourage you to jump into this with both feet, no matter how long you have been together. Start by setting aside time to talk. Try to keep distractions to a minimum because this won't be 5 minutes and done. It will be a time to talk about how you both feel about where you are right now and your vision for the future, and it will be worth it. It's all a part of building your relationship and building to the future together. The next article is titled, This Black Woman Launched an All-Black Marketplace Without a Dollar from Investors. With the right preparation, planning, and love from your community, you can build a thriving business. This is just what Dr. Lakeisha Hallman, founder of The Village Market Atlanta, proved when she pulled up for a conversation on the latest episode of Unbossed. In 2011, Hallman permanently left her home, family, and teaching job behind in the Mississippi Delta for the ever-expanding city of Atlanta. This eventually allowed her to see the inconsistencies in how Black-owned businesses were supported and showcased. Being an educator and a doer committed to excellence, Hallman decided to do something about the lack of Black businesses being showcased and amplified without a single dollar of investor money, just donations for her own village of family and friends. Just donations from her own village of family and friends. I didn't want anyone to have ownership of a thing that was still so young in my mind and so young in creation, she said to Unbossed host Marquita Harris. I knew that eventually I would bring in other stakeholders, but I needed it to be very clear on what my principles and values were. I believed early on that if you bring in too many investors early, what you initially wanted to create has been distorted. Now, the Village Market Atlanta has trained and showcased hundreds of Black businesses, growing their brand awareness and cementing local commitment to buying Black. The next article is titled, Vegan Influencer Tabitha Brown Reveals How Veganism Saved Her Life. Tabitha Brown, a beloved vegan food influencer with a whopping 2.4 million Instagram followers and counting, is taking social media by storm with her plant-based recipes and infectious positivity. But do you know why Brown became vegan in the first place? During her segment on Essence Festival Wellness House, Brown spoke about her transition to a plant-based diva to combat a chronic health issue. What started off as a 30-day vegan challenge became her saving grace in more ways than one. The next article is titled, Jada Pinkett Smith's Career Proves Success Isn't a Straight and Narrow Path. Since the 90s, Jada Pinkett Smith has graced the small big screens. But as decades come and go, she also uses her Hollywood fame to expand her career off screen. The Baltimore native has found ways to invest, create opportunities, and make money with her family. She's building an empire and cementing the Smith family contributions for the next generation. Everything you need to know about Essence's 2020 Wealth and Power Experience is the next article. As a Black woman, your voice is powerful, But we don't have to tell you that. You have no problem expressing your opinion on hot button issues that affect our community. Essence is thrilled to partner with thought leaders, experts, and activists for the next 2 weekends in our first ever virtual wealth and power experience. The experience highlights the change agents in the political and economic fields as we navigate social unrest in the face of the 2020 election. Week one of the Wealth Plus Power Digital Town Halls will begin on Saturday with a journey through Essence's archives led by our Chief Content and Creative Officer, Moana Liu. The event will go behind the scenes of 5 decades of Essence, covers the Behind the Magic 50 Years of Essence Uncovered. CNN Don Lemon will moderate the Enough is Enough panel with Tamika Mallory, Master P, and Kendall Johnson, all weighing in on the importance of the census and how to strengthen our community, especially during times of crisis. With Black women dying during childbirth, disproportionate rates to our white counterparts, Dr. Robin Jones, board-certified OBGYN, and Senior Medical Director of Women's Health at Johnson & Johnson, and journalist Mara S., will delve into health inequalities that plague Black womanhood. You'll leave this chat armed with resources and tools to advocate. For yourself while seeking medical help. Put on your power suit and join Kelly Edwards, Patrice Banks, and Clarissa Shields for a conversation on how Black women continue to overcome insurmountable odds in non-traditional professional fields. CEO and Executive Chairman R. Dennis will lead an empowering panel on economic equity as a human right. Dennis, along with National Urban League's Mark Morrell and New York City's First Lady Shirlane McCray, will burrow to the root of Black generational poverty and how to strengthen the Black economy. Hear from Reverend Al Sharpton in a keynote address designed to inspire the community. Black Love takes center stage during week 2 of the Wealth Plus Power series. Stephen and Aisha Curry, Kirk and Tammy Franklin, Tiana Taylor, and Iman Sumpert will offer insight into their respective relationships while sharing their methods for dealing with uncertain times as a family. Black women on the front lines of the political sphere sound off in this powerful panel compromise of Black women mayors Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, Ella Jones of Ferguson, Keisha Lance Bottoms of Atlanta, Murrow Bowser of Washington, D.C., and LaToya Cantrell of New Orleans. Cap off the weekend with an uplifting send-off from Beyoncé's publicist Yvette Noel Shore, Ivy McGregor, and Lynn Richardson in the You Got This Sis installation. Leave with takeaways on how to navigate transition periods of uncertainty. Black couple offers safety tips for traveling to Jamaica and beyond after international borders open. For some, traveling this summer after 3+ months of quarantine has to happen by any means necessary, whether for leisure, work, or simply to visit family. For Howard University alums, Takima Robinson and her fiance, Havana Llewellyn, that was exactly the plan when Jamaica announced reopening plans on June 15th. For Llewellyn, a native of Jamaica, traveling to the destination has been a routine experience since childhood. And even especially now with them both having business operations, housing on the island, and having to travel back to work. But after a but after new protocols and restrictions were implemented following the pandemic, the experience traveling from Louisiana to Jamrock was nothing that could have ever been anticipated. So they sought to document it for other people to understand, with many concerned about what travel, especially international travel, will look like in this quote-unquote new normal, the couple became insta-famous for their 12-minute Instagram video detailing their recent journey to Jamaica and how the experience measures up to U.S. prevention measures. For those choosing to travel, the couple offers a few additional tips on how to safely travel to Jamaica or any international country that has currently opened up its borders to American tourists. First, do your research on travel protocols and policies. Llewellyn says that the first thing anyone must do before traveling is to verify what the country's policy is in terms of letting people in and availability to move around. For instance, the couple shared that Jamaica has an online registration system that grants you access to the country. It is tied to the airlines. He says you cannot board a plane without first presenting the document, which is printed out with a barcode, or utilizing your phone. Please make sure that you have enough time to apply and get a response to what the travel policies are. Secondly, determine what restrictions you may or may not have once you're in the island or in the country. This especially will help in identifying whether it's even worth it or to travel. This especially will help in identifying whether it's even worth it to travel. Robinson and Llewellyn are intimately involved in the protocols of Jamaica due to their status as Airbnb host with hosted properties on the island. So finding out this information was not only in their best interest, but critical to understanding how they could travel and how they would be able to welcome guests back to their home. Llewellyn shares that it's important to understand what you are allowed to do on the ground and where you can go and what you can do. Thirdly, understand that self-quarantine is inevitable at some point once you land. If you're traveling to a destination that requires COVID-19 testing upon arrival, like most Caribbean countries, including Jamaica and Antigua, you'll have to await your results until you can move around the island. You can't leave the resort property until your results come back, shares Robinson. They report those results to the hotel, so the hotel personnel knows and informs you of the results of your test. If you test negative, you can then move around the resilient quarter, but you can't come further into the population. If you are positive, then you have some options. One, you can go to a state quarantine facility, which is just another hotel where they have all the positive cases. Or two, you have to quarantine at your own expense someplace else. While you may have their own opinions on whether traveling, while many may have their own opinions on whether traveling for leisure makes sense with the pandemic still in force, while many have their own opinions on whether traveling for leisure makes sense with the pandemic still in force, the couple offer their own words of advice. It's personal preference, says Llewellyn. There's always a risk of being in the airport and what that looks like. If you have been quarantined for 3 months and you want to get away and you want to go to a beach and do some of those things, I think it's worth it from that perspective, from an experience. There's an experience side of things. There's a safety side of things. Each person has to make that assessment for what the safety risks are for them. Robinson, however, disagrees. It is not worth it if you have a pre-existing condition. It is not worth the risk. point blank period. We had to make a calculated risk for us and our family because we had to get here for business. I'm never going to say that it is worth it if it depends on your health condition. The couple also noted that traveling in the U.S. presents a bigger risk because of the lack of detailed protocols being put in place and maintained from our leadership. The next article is titled, Usher Salutes Black Lives Matter in New Video. On July 4th, Usher premiered the video for his emotional song, I Cry, addressing the ongoing movement for racial equality during the Essence Festival of Culture. In his Instagram post, which he directed his followers to the Essence Fest for the premiere, the Confessions singer explained the mission behind the video for the socially conscious song. This video is in honor of the courage and bravery of the activists and organizations who are demanding a change to be broken systems. This video is in honor of the courage and bravery of the activists and organizations who are demanding a change to broken systems rooted in hundreds of years of racism, he wrote. The father of two black boys, Cinco 12 and Naviad 11, who handled graphics under the moniker Dem Raymond Boys for their dad's self-directed video. Usher, like anybody else raising black children in this country, fears for his children's safety, and no amount of celebrity shields him from that. Throughout I Cry, the multiple Grammy Award winner puts a spotlight on his face, at times releases tears while blending in images of black people from the 20th century taken by iconic black photographer and Essence's editorial director in 1970, Gordon Parks, as well as recent imagery from Black Lives Matter protesters. I cry for the sons without fathers and the pain that the mothers hold deep inside, and I'll fight for the future we're making, he sings. Okay, well, we actually have run out of time for today's episode of Ebony. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ebony is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.